Well, now you guys are stepping into the jet age here. You've got a Lockheed L-188. Most of us know that as the Electra. What kind of maintenance issues? What kind of new things have you had to address with this aircraft?
My favorite thing ever is people that trash the DC-4. We're used to the DC-4 being operating, I think, since 91. My brother's favorite aircraft. Mine, it's one I cut my teeth on doing mechanic works when I was firefighting. And everyone, you know, the R2000, the radial engine, you know, it's the weak point and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you got to go get the, you know, a turbine airplane and stuff. But then we get the turbine airplane, the Lockheed Electra, engines are magnificent, but the airframe's the problem. The DC-4, the only way you can hurt it is with a forklift. And
sounds like they've tried.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that's another thing. Yeah. The only thing that will wreck a DC-4 is another DC-4 or a forklift. Where the Electra is, you basically look at it and there's cracks. But I'm being a little bit sensational there because the Electra can go out and do 5 trips before the DC-4 mumbles home. So there's give and take, and is a necessity because the Electra is a far superior aircraft when it comes to speed and the amount it can haul, and of course it burns jet fuel, which is usually a deal maker.
Like you were saying, you can get jet fuel just about anywhere.
Yeah. Or something close enough.
But if you were to put the Electra in the DC-4 or DC-6 or DC-7 on a scale, you can argue either way. And the pluses of the Electra are the minuses of the 4 and vice versa.
This is going to sound like a really weird question. Do you guys find yourself being in the position of experts on these aircraft? Do you have museums, collectors, people calling you and saying, how do I fix this problem on this DC-4?
Yeah, for sure. And it's before the television show Ice Pots came out, we were basically like Jurassic Park. No one knew we were here, right? Mm-hmm. We were stuck in our isolated communities, and everybody was kind of focused on their own niche markets and their own worlds, and we were kind of left to ourselves. But by exposing ourselves on television, we do get flooded with people. I need this prop seal, and how does this happen? I was just in Coventry, England, and they're restoring one of the DC-3s there, and they're asking me all the questions and all that stuff. And unfortunately, my brother's the mechanic end of it, so I had to pretend I knew what I was talking about, just like I'm doing now.
So you're doing a good job. We're pretending to be radio hosts.
Really? How's that working? But it sounds like a tremendous challenge. What are you guys working on in the future?
That's the million-dollar question. The one thing I really like about Buffalo is tomorrow no one knows. It's like an adventure. You know, when Orville and Wilbur were out there, they didn't know. They were like, hey, so what do you think about the 747 is going to come out in 40 years? They didn't know. We don't know. The customer tells us what they need. The customer doesn't care if a DC-3 or an ATR-72 brings it in. They care of price per pound. And our job is just to give them what they want. If they say they want a 747 air tanker to put out their firefighting, we'll go down to Davis-Monthan and Air Force Base and steal 47.
Yeah. You guys won't miss this, will you?
Yeah, really. Oh, turn you back for a second. We need to borrow this.
Well, there was an article in Air and Space about aircraft repo company. Maybe you could hook up with them. They'll repo you one.
Yeah, you never know. Hey, such a deal. Low mileage, late model beauty. You never can tell.
If there's an airport, if there's a repo company guaranteed that Oshkosh here, they can have the market cornered out here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, there's probably a few that they're looking for. Well, thank you for coming. Thanks for bringing your airplane. Oh, one final comment. I said this to your dad yesterday. You look at all the DC-3s out there on the ramp. They're all polished, and they're all beautiful, and they're all museum queens that get flown a couple times a year. And then there's your airplane, and you say, that's the daily driver. That's the workhorse. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, basically like the rat rod of aviation. Yep. It's kind of cool. If you got both ends of it. A lot of people do go up the airplane and just go, why are you here?
Right.
And then you kind of explain it to them. They're like, oh, okay. But the other people come up and they're really appreciative. I just want to point out that we don't think we're anything more than normal, because this is the first time in the history of Buffalo that we're in a situation where where usually people look down at us from their ATRs and their 737s, and this is the first time where I've actually been.
I was going to say, when you pass these people, do you ever like crack the cockpit window and thumb your nose at them?
There is a friendly rivalry up there, but the one thing I really like about the North is that everyone works together. And you do compete, but when someone's in trouble, it's amazing. I'd be aviation everywhere, but particularly in the North. When someone's in a problem, or you know, AOG parts and stuff, it's very easy to say, oh, I don't know about the AOG part, but everyone helps out. And
or if you've got someone lost.
Yeah,
That's time critical.
And in fact, I just got word that there is someone lost up in the territories right now, and everyone's getting back together and doing mass searches right now.
So. Well, I hope that's got a happy ending to it.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys carry the new 406 megahertz ELTs?
Honestly, the new ELTs, I don't know the part number, but Transport Canada has always sent us letters upgrading. We just had to do the ACAST or TCAST into the DC-3s, which it went 75 years without it, and all of a sudden,
I was going to say, it seems kind of counterintuitive that you needed a DC-3.
There's a pitot heat indication and stuff like that. Like, so there's always an improvements, and you know, DC-3s now are safer than the DC-3s of yesterday.
Well, you've got glass cockpits now, right? You look out the window. Well,
there's glass in the cockpits.
Yeah. And you look out the window. Yeah. All right. Again, thank you for coming, Mike. Meeting you.
Thanks for having us. And
appreciate you coming out.
I enjoy your one big sauna here.
Oh yeah. This is the...
It's a 500,000 person sauna.
Yeah. Well, they painted over the air conditioning.
No, he's talking about the air show grounds.
Oh, that too, yeah.
You should have been out in the mud flats with the camping area.
You think ice is fun? Wait till you get the DC-3 stuck in a foot in a mud.
I'm sure they've done that.
I need.
You've got permafrost up there, but it thaws for what, 2 months a year, you said?
Well, there's one story last year where we were at this kind of a marginal airstrip that was better than average, but still crappy by your standards, and the 46 was doing a turnaround and it hit a soft spot, so they gunned it and they popped out of the hole, but they spit up all the bunch of rocks and took out a Hawker 748's windshield, the competitor behind us. That was a little bit of rivalry.
Yeah, you couldn't exactly say, well, it wasn't our plane.
Oh, that had to hurt, too.
Yeah, so it's always fun.
That's okay. The next airport, they parked behind the Hawker so that he could try it.
Yeah, really. Good luck with that.
All right, thanks again.
Cool, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for taking time out of your schedule.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Got to do the out.
Oh, that's right.
Got to do the out.
All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.
Excellent.